This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host Meghna Chakrabarty is out today. A highly unusual and highly controversial case was back in federal court in Massachusetts this week. It pits an African-based gay rights group against a Springfield, Massachusetts evangelist named Scott Lively. Lively is famous for his anti-gay rhetoric. And now a gay rights group from Uganda is suing him in U.S. federal court, accusing him of violating international law for inciting the persecution of gays and lesbians in Uganda. This week, Lively and his lawyers were back in court arguing that the case should be dismissed. And we're going to hear from Scott Lively in a moment. But first, some background. Back in 2009, the Ugandan legislature considered a bill that would have imposed the death penalty for the offense of homosexuality. The bill has not become law, but it was supported by one of Scott Lively's contacts in Uganda. And Lively has traveled to Uganda and preached against what he calls the international gay movement, which he says is committed to corrupting the country's moral culture. Those are his words. The lawsuit against Mr. Lively alleges that he incited the persecution, arrest, torture, and murder of gay men and lesbians in Uganda. Here's Pamela Spees. She's an attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, which is representing the gay rights activists in Uganda. She says Scott Lively is part of a broad campaign to persecute homosexuals in that country.
Scott Lively's contribution to this effort, he's very clear that in order to defeat the evil gay movement, as he calls it, you have to silence that movement. And you silence it by criminalizing any form of advocacy and any form of association. So that is already happening. Our clients' meetings are being raided. Their offices are being raided. Staff's homes have been raided. These are the things that are actually intended by Scott Lively. So that is already happening.
So that's Pamela Spees, an attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, with whom we spoke earlier this week. And joining us now from WFCR in Amherst is Scott Lively. He's the founder and president of Abiding Truth Ministries. He's also the author of 7 Steps to Recruit Proof Your Child, a guide to prevent what he calls pro-homosexual indoctrination. And Scott Lively, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So, obviously, some pretty serious allegations there contained in this lawsuit. We heard from Pamela Spees. We had a longer talk with her earlier this week about this case. Let me just get you, and there are a bunch of things I want to ask you. So if you would, I'd really appreciate it if you don't sort of give me the whole story, but respond briefly, if you will, to this basic charge that you're part of an effort in Uganda that's really making life difficult, dangerous, deadly dangerous for homosexuals.
Well, there's an awful lot of exaggeration going on by SMUG and by the Center for Constitutional Rights.
Now, SMUG is the gay rights organization in Uganda that filed the suit. I just want to make sure that our listeners understand that.
Yeah, there's been no torture and murder in Uganda. That's all hyperbole. There has been some police activity, according to these activists. There's been no corroborating support for their allegations that these meetings have been disrupted and things like that. I don't support that. It's not part of what I would have done. Nevertheless, it's a one-sided information source, and we really don't know what has actually happened with those.
Well, we do know that members of the gay and lesbian community in Uganda have been subjected to all kinds of unfortunate persecution. Whether or not you're responsible, that's the question, or whether or not you've contributed to that is the question that we're looking at here. So let me ask you about a specific issue, and that is, in 2009, you attended essentially an anti-gay conference in Uganda that got a lot of attention. You sent back dispatches about it. You talked about the importance of preventing the spread of the international gay agenda in Uganda. Tell me about that conference and why you went there.
Well, let's get right down to the reason that they held the conference in the first place. It's really to come against gay sex tourism that's taking place in Uganda. You have primarily male homosexuals from the United States and Europe going into Uganda, and with just a few dollars or a bicycle or a cell phone, turning these impoverished teen and preteen boys into male prostitutes. And the country's outraged about it. They wanted to pass some kind of law to protect their children, and that's what this law was. It was overly harsh, extremely overly harsh. I didn't support it. But that's the motivation for the Ugandan government's actions. This isn't some, you know, science fiction story of perfectly innocent people being harassed for no reason. There's a contest here about which values are going to prevail in this country, and only one side of the story is being told. That's the pro-gay side.
Mm. I want to play some tape of you speaking at that anti-gay conference in Uganda in 2009. So let's just listen to the following cut.
The gay movement is an evil institution. The goal of the gay movement is to defeat the marriage-based society and replace it with a culture of sexual promiscuity.
So, Scott Lively, that's a pretty broad condemnation of gays and lesbians, calling their movement...
That is the biblical perspective of homosexuality.
Right.
Homosexuality is evil, according to God. It's called an abomination in the Bible. And any movement that's attempting to legitimize sexual perversion is an evil movement.
Well,
that's just basic historic Christian perspective.
But this view that you're bringing over to Uganda, I mean, this is inciting, according to the people
nonsense.
Well, let me just
friend.
Put the question on the table, because they're claiming, as we heard Pamela Spies, that all kinds of actions against gay rights groups, including breaking up their meetings and all kinds of other things, was really being incited by this kind of language, calling the gay movement an evil institution. And you've gone farther, so let's just listen to one more piece of tape. This is also...
Are you going to play anything on the other side, balancing this?
Well, I'm going to ask you...
You're just going to hit me with the negative stuff.
I'm going to hit you with some tough questions and give you all the time in the world that you want to answer it. So let's just listen to this.
They are so far from normalcy that they're killers. They're serial killers, mass murderers. They're people, they're sociopaths, right? There's no mercy at all. There's no nurturing. There's no caring about anybody else. This is the kind of person that it takes to run a gas chamber, right? Or to do a mass murder, you know, like this, the Rwandan stuff probably involved these guys.
So, I mean, that again, is an incredibly strong statement to make.
You guys are so dishonest.
Well, go ahead. You respond to that and defend it any
so
way
dishonest.
You want.
You're so dishonest. You're cherry-picking comments out of context. That portion of my talk was describing a spectrum of gender identity disorder. And when I was talking about that part, I was talking about a tiny, tiny group of people, literally a handful of people. And I was talking about people like Jeffrey Dahmer. If you actually had presented the entire context,
well, go ahead, put it in a broader context.
Put
it in a broader context. I'm not denying you that.
I'm not just responding to the content of the clip. I'm responding to the fact that you played this clip knowing that there's a broader context that tells a completely different story. You're being dishonest. This is malicious deceit.
No, I'm actually not being dishonest. I'm very interested in this lawsuit that was brought by a respected legal group. You may disagree with them. There are respected people as well in Uganda who say that you are inciting persecution. I'm giving you an opportunity to answer the question.
Oh, sir. I am answering.
Okay, well,
I'm
go right ahead.
I'm putting you back on the spot for engaging in, you know, you're a radio journalist here. You're engaging in propaganda.
Scott Lively, you've said that your talks at the conference have been misrepresented by the media. Go ahead. Put it in the context that you want to put it into. Go ahead. Right now.
Well, the context of the situation in Uganda is, as I described, the government of this country wants to stop the homosexualization of their culture. The seemingly inflammatory comments that you're citing to sort of portray me as some kind of monster have been taken out of context. And I can't, in the space that we have, go through the entire discussion that I had in that section of the
Well, can I ask you a broader question? I mean, to what degree are you aligned with political forces in Uganda that want to pass anti-gay, that would deny gays and lesbians rights in Uganda?
I think, and let me just say, regardless of whether it's the United States or Uganda or any other country, my belief is that homosexuality is something that should be discouraged by society. By the same token, I believe in civil rights. I believe people should be able to make free choice as to what they do in the privacy of their bedroom. But that this idea of taking the behavior and mentality and philosophy of a subculture and attempting to completely reshape the mainstream society to suit that special interest.
And do you think that's what's going on?
You
think that's what's going on in Uganda? Because, I mean, I think if you talk to the folks who are bringing this lawsuit, they would say, we're a group of people who are petitioning for the rights that all people enjoy, just as we've seen happen in this country.
These people are liars. Look at what they put in this lawsuit, for example.
When you say these people, who are you talking to?
I'm talking about the smug activists. I'm talking about the attorneys for the Center for Constitutional Rights. And let me just explain what I'm talking about. The centerpiece of their lawsuit is the murder of David Kato. And they left out. They portray this as a homophobic hate crime, but they don't include the fact that the actual killer of David Kato was a male prostitute who was bailed out of jail by Kato to be his live-in lover and houseboy. And when Kato didn't pay him as promised, he bashed his skull in with a hammer. That man was arrested by the police. He confessed the crime. He was tried in Ugandan courts, and he's serving 30 years in prison. How is it that a group of attorneys can actually file a case with a federal judge and portray me as being responsible for the murder of David Kato when they know very well the actual facts and leave them out of a complaint to attempt to mislead a federal judge on a point that's this important? That's dishonesty.
Well, let me ask you about sort of one of the specifics that sort of come out in the reporting in this, and that is, we mentioned this in 2009, there was legislation that was proposed that would make homosexuality punishable by death. And this was proposed by people that you know in Uganda. I'm not saying you're responsible for it, but what's your view of such legislation?
Well, I was opposed to it from the minute that they came out with it. Mm. That language wasn't drafted. That bill wasn't drafted during the conference. It didn't come out until April. It was over a month later that the initial draft language was released. Mm. When I saw it, I sent a couple of suggested alternatives that focused on therapy and prevention.
So that's what propose legislation that would provide therapy for homosexuals in Uganda.
Yes, yes. And I know you don't like that idea, but that's a far cry from capital punishment. And I never supported that aspect of the bill. And frankly, if they had come to me in advance, if I was the mastermind that they're trying to portray, I would certainly not have drafted something that clearly was going to create an international furor. Mm. I'm an attorney myself. I'm a political strategist. It was not just wrong to have put out that bill. It was counterproductive to their own goals. And I would, the idea that I was somehow behind this is just ridiculous.
Well, Scott,
if I had drafted a bill that might have actually passed and accomplished something and preserved basic civil rights for homosexuals at the same time.
Let me bring another voice into the conversation. I want to introduce the Reverend Kapia Kauma. He's a researcher of religion and sexuality with Political Research Associates in Somerville, and he's written extensively on what he's called the Christian Rights attempt to transform sexual politics in Africa. And Reverend Kauma, thanks so much for coming in and welcome to Radio Boston. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So I'd love to get you to respond to what you've heard from Scott Lively. And first, I want to say I understand that you actually were at that conference in 2009. What did you hear? And what's your response to what you've heard here today?
Thank you for having me again. Scott, when you were in Uganda, you were a star. And I'm disappointed that you can even claim to the public that you didn't promote hatred in Uganda. You spoke convincingly to people of Uganda. You told them that the country should have no tolerance whatsoever on gay rights. In fact, it's your own words. You say we shouldn't have any tolerance, zero tolerance for homosexuality. That's what you said. You
no,
also
that's
boasted.
Not what I said.
I'm quoting from what
book,
you said. Listen, let me finish first.
Let's just let the Reverend Kauma finish
go
first.
Ahead.
The
go
second
ahead.
Part is that you boasted on your own blog, Defend the Family blog. You said your meeting in Uganda created and almost you compared it to nuclear bomb against gays. That's what you
wrote. No, that's not what I said.
That's what you wrote on your own blog.
That's not what I
said. And I'm taking those words from your own blog.
No, you're not. You're misrepresenting.
Everybody.
Well, is he misrepresenting or is he misquoting?
No. That's a serious problem.
No. I'm a minister too, my brother. I can tell you that. Listen
I know,
to me. You wrote like this that your campaign was like a nuclear bomb against gays. That's what you said.
No, I didn't.
Did you say?
Tell me what you said. What I said. I agreed with someone who said that the conference was like a nuclear bomb against the gay agenda. See, that's a different, whole different thing.
Now, what do you mean by that? If it is a nuclear bomb, what does it do?
You know, it's...
Can you kindly answer my question? If you talk about a nuclear bomb, you speak about a nuclear bomb, what does it do against a group of people?
Well, not against a group of people.
You're talking about
the philosophy.
You say against gay.
No, see, you're mischaracterizing me again.
Well,
he's
giving you a chance to answer the question.
I am answering the question.
You did make a reference.
If you stop talking for a second, I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I'll give you the answer.
Answer the question.
I make a very clear distinction, and always have, between people whom I love and don't want any harm to come to, and the philosophy and the public policy ideas that they're advancing. Now, the nuclear bomb that I want to fall on every country that has a homosexual agenda is against the idea that sexual perversion should be mainstreamed. It's not against the people. And that's a distinction that your side always obscures in order to be able to portray people like me as monsters instead of people with a different idea about what our public policy should be.
Scott Lively, there's a couple of questions that I want to follow up you with, but I want to stick with Capia Coma for just one moment, because I want to ask you, Capia Coma, give me a sense of what the climate was like for gays and lesbians in Uganda before all of this sort of burst out in this way.
The atmosphere was a bit better for them. In fact, one of the things we talk about in 2007, 2008, the gay community managed to win a case against the Attorney General of Uganda for having abused their rights. So gays had some rights before, and they could even demonstrate, they could have press conferences without any kind of harassment from the police or anyone else. But when Scott Lively went into Uganda, one thing he did very well is to preach to the audience, not just in Uganda, but also to everyone who was listening, among them the parliamentarians. He went to the Parliament of Uganda, for instance. He spent with them over 4 hours talking to them.
That's
saying,
not true.
Come on, man.
Did you not meet with parliamentarians?
I did. I was there for about half an hour.
Oh, man, minutes. Come on. Everything was suspended.
4 hours?
Let's not argue about whether it was a half hour or 4 hours.
You met with them.
It's a minor point. It's a minor point.
It's not a minor point to me. That's a big point. You're talking to the lawmakers. I'm not stabbing you when you're speaking, mind you.
Are you going to tell them what I said to the parliament, my friend?
It was a closed meeting with the parliamentarians.
So
after that, again, the people became so excited. And one thing which was clear, after that, when he left Uganda, I remained in Uganda, there was what they call a strategic meeting to combat homosexuality in Uganda. During that meeting, we were even told by people how afraid they were because of what they heard from Scott Lively. And they vowed in that meeting that they are prepared to do everything possible to get a gay out of Uganda.
So let me follow up and get back to this case. And Cappy Kelm, I'm going to ask you this. Scott Lively, and Scott, I'm just going to sum up something that you said earlier this week, and you can correct me, and I'm not trying to say anything controversial, but I think when you tried to dismiss this case, you basically said that this comes down to freedom of speech, that you should have the right to go to Uganda and preach the gospel and say what you want to say because that's what you believe and you have the right to do that.
That's true.
Okay, fine. So I want to put that point to Cappy Coma. Is this more than someone just coming into Uganda and expressing views, however abhorrent you might view them as? Does he not have the right to do that?
I believe that people have got rights and their rights cannot be hindered. Every one of us has the right to say what we want to say. But I have a problem with people going into a foreign environment where they don't understand the situation on the ground and start lying to the community, demonizing other persons to an extent that the community organizes persecution of these persons. Because in Uganda, it was not just about preaching the gospel. It was about asking them to take radical steps to stop the international homosexual agenda. And it was said clearly that no country on earth has been able to stop them, but I hope Uganda will. That's what Scott Live was saying. So to even say that it's about freedom of expression, it's about freedom of expression, yes, but words have consequences. And when you try to demonize another person, and in this case, the gay community in Uganda, Scott wants to present them as though they are this powerful group. They are not at all. The gay community is so vulnerable. Most of them are unemployed. Most of them are being rejected by their families. Now, to define them as demons or certain strange characters based on what we just played, that makes people so worried. And we're
that's
still...
That's not true. That's,
can I finish?
You just finish the point, and then Scott Live, I'm going to let you...
You're going on quite a long time.
Can I finish, please?
Yeah, if you'll wrap it up so I can respond.
You can respond. You lied to the community of Uganda that gays are there to recruit young kids, that they are coming after your kids, and you must stop them. I don't know if you have paid attention to what they call the strategic meeting, where it was even said that they needed guns. Those are the words of one of the pastors. We need guns to stop the international gay agenda from taking over Uganda.
I have nothing to do with that.
You have nothing, but you told them that.
I have nothing to do
because
with
what
any
they
of that.
Told.
I don't believe that. I don't support that.
All right, Cappy Kemmel, let's let Scott Lively respond. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes. Everything I taught in at the seminar in Uganda is in my book, Redeeming the Rainbow, which you can download for free from defendthefamily.com. I was teaching from that. It was that book was in manuscript form. I was almost done with it. That's what I taught. If you want to see the context, for example, of that outrageous comment that you you played, that second clip, you can go. It's somewhere around page 50 it starts, and there's about 10 pages of information that I laid out. Now, many people are not going to agree with that if you're coming from a more liberal perspective, but you'll see it's very different than it's being characterized at. And I want you to listen to me. This is my heart. I love homosexual people. I don't want them to suffer. I don't want people to kick down their doors. My family took in a homosexual man who was dying of AIDS, and we took care of him in our home for the last year of his life. I was with him in the hospital the night that he died. Right, that's who Scott Lively is. It's not this monster that's being portrayed by misrepresenting comments that I made in a 3-day seminar.
Scott, I would have loved if you said that to Uganda.
All right, I did say that.
You didn't say
that. If you go back and find those...
Gentlemen, I'm going to jump in because there's two more questions that I want to ask and our time is running down. Scott Lively, I just want to ask you, why are you taking this agenda to Uganda? I mean, it seems like the debate is fair game here in the United States, although
I was invited there. It was my idea. This was their idea. They wanted help to be able to stop the transformation that was happening in their society. This is a very morally conservative country. Homosexuality, abortion, pornography are all illegal, and they have been for a long, long time. And
wouldn't you be helping the society more to encourage them to be tolerant? I mean, I don't think from my understanding and the research that I've done, the gay and lesbian society and community in Uganda isn't exactly taking over the country.
Well, you obviously don't know what I said there, because if you actually watch the tapes of the entire conference, you'll hear all of the context is a positive context from a person who comes from a biblical worldview.
Listen, I also come from the biblical worldview, but there's nothing in the Bible which allows you to demonize another person.
All right, gentlemen, you know what? We are out of time. I know this is an emotional and difficult debate. I've tried my best to steer this conversation down the middle. Scott Lively, Christian pastor in Springfield, Massachusetts, founder and president of Abiding Truth Ministries. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And Reverend Cappia Kauma, he's a researcher for Political Research Associates in Somerville. And I want to thank you, Cappia Kauma, for coming in
as well. Thank you for having me.
And listeners, this conversation continues in a big way at RadioBoston.org. You can post your comments there. And stay with us. We've got more program coming up. Former Patriots All-Star Junior Seo committed suicide last year. And according to the National Institutes of Health, football was the cause. That's coming up next I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.